to kind of fill the gap, really. I've kind of based this presentation, it's kind of personal and a bit odd, perhaps, at times, but it certainly represents something from myself and my own sort of thoughts, my own experiences, my own life, and also it does have some references to the evidence there, which which is why I'm kind of sharing it with you today. Certainly, I think it just is important that we do build our projects and services on a good solid foundation of evidence. And I do think hopefully this is part of a process of raising the profile of therapeutic green spaces, of which there are many and such an amazing and diverse richness in Nottingham and Nottinghamshire. I kind of think sometimes you only appreciate kind of what you've got when it isn't there, really. And I kind of sometimes wonder what it might be like living in a barren place, what that kind of environment would do for your mental health, really. And how special a blade of grass, if you'd lived there for a long time, how special would a blade of grass be? But we kind of take that for granted. It hasn't stopped a lot of urban developments basing the, development of housing estates on that barren landscape. This is actually a street on the outskirts of Wigan, where I grew up, my street and road. And the council thought it was fantastic to tarmac over everybody's garden so they could park their cars on it. So it is an interesting statement compared to the kind of reference to the history and the context of green spaces and therapeutic spaces that around us, we are, various parts of our community are covering it up with tarmac and sticking their cars on it. Phil, that was a picture that the Gateway to Nature took, and I kind of think it's quite nice in some ways that it does symbolise and represent that however much tarmac you put down, there's always something is going to grow up under it and break it up at some point. Also, this is kind of, I love this kind of photograph, and if you were to put nature and life in a broader context and how much effort we are putting into looking for it in other places, I can only imagine what it would have been like for the Apollo astronauts as they came back from the dark side of the moon to see that amazing place. I think sometimes you need to step back from it to just appreciate what an incredible place that is. So kind of what's the big deal about it all? Well, I think we've got a very strong historical perspective. I do think we take so much for granted, so much amazingly wonderful stuff that is around us. I think it's important to see to appreciate the biodiversity and the concept of Earth as a shared space. There's a very strong body of evidence around the physical health benefits of accessing green spaces. Obviously, in terms of exercise, but also doing that exercise in a green space. And there's a lot of very strong evidence about the kind of psychological and emotional benefits of reducing stress, anxiety, anger, increasing self-esteem. And of course, it does promote recovery, which is one of the sort of major concepts in mental health and stronger communities. Some of the evidence, I think, I'm not quite sure when it was. I do have references for the piece of evidence, but a kind of significant study certainly spoke about living near or spending time in green spaces can reduce stress and anxiety, reduce levels of depression. And again, lots of evidence about just getting out and moving around for sometimes as little as 5 minutes improves both mood and self-esteem. I think sometimes the psychological benefits are very subtle. It's not like pouring a can of white storm down your neck. It's slightly more gentle and subtle. And I think there is a challenge in the world of substances that people use to sometimes to appreciate the more gentle ways of coping. So spending time 5 minutes from the city, Framework has a lot of quite a few kind of hostels and shared housing in NG7. And the Gateway to Nature project and other projects obviously encourage people to get out and about more, but this is 5 minutes from the city and 5 minutes from a lot of quite stressful, confined living. And certainly our staff and our project tries to encourage people to appreciate what it is around. That is the Nottingham Arboretum. Again, another, I think, quite significant piece of research concluded that prisoners whose cells overlook fields made 24% fewer visits to doctors. Similarly, patients in a hospital where they have a view of green spaces, trees, needed fewer painkillers. And also exercise in a green space has been shown to reduce feelings of depression. Kaplan did a lot of research and spoke about the restorative environment, which is that sense of, I think, relief sometimes from tension. I think there's something, they talk a lot about the natural environment being able to distract and sort of almost pull you in and away from preoccupying thoughts. I mean, a lot of challenging and difficult mental health is rooted in difficult thoughts, difficult thought processes that underlie a lot of challenging and difficult behaviours. An environment that allows you to move away from that is quite powerful. So again, Kaplan, they talk a lot about that, and also in the way that it helps concentration and promote relaxation. Again, this is one of my kind of favourite photographs that I took of the Arboretum, which is, I think, amazing what is kind of literally on your doorstep. Social and therapeutic horticulture, again, there's a huge amount of research, some of which has been done by Loughborough University, Jojo Sempick. And again, they concluded about people who involve themselves in social and therapeutic horticulture, they have increased self-esteem, self-confidence, the development of horticultural, social and work skills, general increase in sense of well-being, and also the opportunity for social interaction and the development of independence. I think the research kind of struggles to unravel the key elements, whether the social element, the social interaction is one of the prime drivers of well-being for people. But obviously, given that people live increasingly isolated lives, it's a great challenge for a lot of people. Nottingham, just again, really, just to, I think, kind of pay tribute to some projects that have been around for a very long time, and also to just pay tribute to the city, the Federation of City Farms and Community Gardens, which has a very long history and very much kind of pulls together across the country, allotments, community gardens, EcoWorks, fantastic, amazing, long history. Arkwright Meadows is a stunning community garden, which is developed. It's the infrastructure, so it's a very, very accessible and a lovely space. And there are many others. I think framework, our connection with this is that when I was had a role as lead practitioner, mental health for framework, I very much felt we should be promoting a holistic approach to positive mental health and recovery. So we took on an allotment, and our homeless day centre at Handel Street also took on an allotment at Hunger Hill. And it was really out of that that we were successful in getting some money. So I think one of the strengths that Framework had in this is that we work with a lot of vulnerable communities, a lot of socially excluded people and groups, and therefore we are, you know, we are in a good place to offer those opportunities to that client group. A few pictures. I don't really want to steal the thunder of Gateway to Nature's presentation later on, but again, the opportunity to get out, you know, I really believe that as a housing organisation, we should be offering access to space, soil, fresh air, as part of what we do. Community option, thanks to Rick for sort of and everybody else who got involved in that local initiative. I need to plant the workers. Again, just another reference to another area, and I think one of the things I wanted to emphasise is that this is on a huge spectrum, whether you call it eco-psychology or therapeutic horticulture. It does encompass a whole range of issues, and I think Rachel Bragg, when she earlier this year spoke on the All in the Mind programme, she kind of answered a question about whether it was applicable for everybody. She said, well, it isn't. There are a lot of activities on the spectrum, and some people, you know, can't stand gardening for lots of reasons, but they can quite enjoy going out for a walk. So care farming is on that spectrum. There are particular, I think Indigo Brave will talk a little bit about some of the connection they offer with animals, but. Again, the evidence from University of Essex, where Rachel works, is again reductions in the feelings of anger, reduced confusion, reduced feelings of depression, fatigue, increase in energy and vigour, and an improvement in mood. Kind of chickens at Whitemore Allotment and lambing. Again, just a reference kind of for some of the wild places and wild spaces. Nottingham City Council have some, and the Notts Wildlife Trust do. We have an amazing range of things on our doorstep, and it's important that we kind of connect and use those. So working through these. Kind of spirituality, you can make of that whatever you like. That was a photograph I took in the Lake District a few years ago, and I think the spirit has a strong connection. I think it has a component in this field, spirituality being a way that we do connect with each other, connect with the world generally, and I think it can find its place in our heart and spirit if you so wish. A favourite place, just to end on a favourite place, I kind of think I'm not by any means an expert in cognitive behavioural therapy, but a lot of difficult mental health challenges do originate in your thoughts. Some of the people Framework work with have thoughts that are dominated by negative experiences of anger, of preoccupying thoughts, and images of previous experiences. I kind of think that if we can support people in developing sort of positive experiences, positive images in their minds, they can be stored deep within you for reference at a different time. So I do think that potentially connecting cognitive behavioural therapy, which is the main sort of plank of government policy in terms of treating anxiety and depression, that if we, in some ways, if we can connect cognitive behavioural therapy with green and spaces and social therapeutic horticulture and nature, then I think there's a lot to be gained there. And I'll leave you with my favourite place. It's a place it's a very personal presentation, but I spent sort of about 12, 13 years visiting this place, climbing and sleeping up on the ridge. And for me personally, it's a place I can revisit in my mind and memory whenever things get kind of tough. So that is the Loch Corusk and the Cuilin Ridge of Skye, which is I'll leave you with that. It's my favourite picture anyway. Thank you.